Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 29 November, 2023, 1 John.
All right, first things first, before we get started, today is Julie's birthday. Happy birthday, Julie. I've been here 46 years, and I grew up as a little shaver, walking in my father's footsteps on hunting trips. From the time I was just a little tiny guy, I always went hunting. I wanted to go hunting and fishing with my dad. And if he ever one time he didn't wake me up because he thought I was sleeping too sound. He didn't want to wake me up. When I woke up, I cried and cried and cried and cried. When they came back from hunting, my mom said, "Don't you ever do that again." And hunting has been a great part of R&R for me, even after I've been a pastor here at Upland Bible Church. In fact, when I was driving, Deb and I were driving out to come to Las Vegas, I turned to her and I said, "Why in the world would God take me to a desert? He knows how much I love to hunt and to fish. Why would he bring me to a desert?" And God is laughing, "Oh, ye of little faith." And I have done more hunting and fishing here in Nevada than I ever did when I grew up in the state of Washington. And the hunting here is better than in the state of Washington. And in the process of those 46 years, I guided a lot of the members of the congregation on hunts. A lot of the men and a lot of the women. And I encouraged the ladies, practice, so that when we get out on the hunt, that bullet will go exactly in the kill zone where it's supposed to. One year, four ladies in the congregation got a tag, deer tag. I was going to be their guide. Debbie was one of them. Julie was another one of them. Four women, 4 days, four bullets, four deer. Don't mess with the women of Upland. They know how to handle a weapon. And in all the time that I've gone and taken some of the men from the church hunting, I can never say that about the men. But I can say that about the ladies. And those are fragrance of memories that I will take with me to heaven. And always they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful memories. So happy birthday to Julie. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Uh-oh, here comes the rough crew here coming in. First John chapter 4, the greatest epistle on the doctrine of virtue, love, chapter after chapter after chapter on virtue, love. And we are in such a fantastic passage now in chapter 4, and it's just going to get better and better and then better in chapter 5. So in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 9. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us, namely, that God has sent His unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, have eternal life, and live the unique spiritual life by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ. Verse 10, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us, and He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Now the key word there is propitiation, hilasmos. H-I-L-A-S-M-O-S, hilasmos. This is the Greek word for propitiation, and propitiation means satisfaction, to satisfy. Propitiation was a critical part of God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Propitiation is the work of Christ on the cross, directed toward God the Father, toward the Father's absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His infinite integrity and virtue. The righteousness and justice of God the Father, combined with His divine love, is the basis of His impersonal love for all mankind in the status quo of spiritual death and total depravity. In His infinite impersonal love for all mankind, God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, so that His Son could solve mankind's problem of sin. God the Father is satisfied with the sacrificial ministry of our Lord on the cross. In propitiation, Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because He is the righteous one. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins and the judgment for those sins by God the Father. The justice of God judged our sins in Jesus Christ on the cross, and the integrity of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is satisfied with that judgment. Propitiation proves that God is virtue love. It proves that He has impersonal love for all mankind, because it frees the justice of God to immediately give anyone who believes in Christ the gift of eternal life and His imputed righteousness. And therefore, propitiation relates directly to the virtue of God, directly to His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and to the virtue love of God, His impersonal love for all mankind. Propitiation is the turning away of the wrath of God by the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Propitiation frees the justice of God to give eternal salvation to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ, proving His impersonal love for all mankind. So in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. One, virtue love started with God, not with us. Virtue love started with God, not with us. Because God is virtue love, always has been virtue love, infinite virtue love. It was impossible to start with us. We started in spiritual death and total depravity. Virtue love started with God, not with us. Two, impersonal love for all started with God, not with us. We were slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. Impersonal love for all started with God, not with us. Three, impersonal love for all proves that God is infinite righteousness and perfect justice and infinite virtue love. Impersonal love for all proves that God is infinite righteousness and perfect justice and infinite virtue love. Four, virtue love exists because God is virtue love in His very essence. Eternally in His essence, He is virtue love. Virtue love exists because God is virtue love, infinite virtue love in His very essence. Five, God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind, one, designed the plan of salvation, designed Operation Grace, the cross. to do that, knowing that we were spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good, only the fact that He is infinite virtue love, infinite impersonal love for all mankind, because He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, that's the basis of His impersonal love for all mankind, and that enabled Him to design the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Two, God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind provided the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, which we're going to be celebrating this month, this next month, Christmas. I celebrate it every single day, and I hope you celebrate it every single day as well. But that plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross, called for the eternal Son of God to leave heaven on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle that this world will ever, ever see or hear or know about. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind. Three, accomplished the imputation and judgment of all personal sins of the human race in our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind, one, designed Operation Grace the Cross, the plan of salvation, two, provided the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the greatest miracle of all time, and third, accomplished the imputation and judgment of all personal sins of the human race in our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that accomplished as a demonstration of God the Father's impersonal love to all mankind. And four, and sent His eternal Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And four, sent God's impersonal love for all mankind, sent His eternal Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Six, the virtue of God the Father, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice could only be satisfied with the salvation work of Christ being judged for our sins on the cross. The virtue of God the Father, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice could only be satisfied, could only be propitiated with the salvation work of Christ being judged for our sins on the cross. Seven, God the Father loved the entire human race with impersonal love for all. Remember, impersonal love puts the spotlight on the one doing the loving, puts the spotlight on God the Father, puts the spotlight on the fact He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And therefore, even though the object is spiritually dead and totally depraved, impersonal love puts the spotlight on the subject, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father, and the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Son. So God the Father loved the entire human race with impersonal love for all. Eight, God the Son loved the entire human race with impersonal love for all, because He said, "Yes, sir, I will do it. I will carry out this incarnation plan that you have, this salvation plan, Operation Grace the Cross." And the spotlight on the Son is His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So God the Son loved the entire human race with impersonal love for all. 9. God's impersonal love for all mankind makes salvation available for anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. God's impersonal love for all mankind makes salvation available for anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love, virtue love, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, verse 10, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us. And He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Now, we go to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, and this is the vocative plural of the adjective agapetos plus the conditional particle ae with the nominative singular theos and the definite article plus the adverb houtos with the aorist active indicative of agapao plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Well, we have a verbal adjective, agapetos. A-G-A-P-long-E-T-O-S, agapetos. This is a verbal adjective. It can be translated beloved. It's used as a special title for the royal family of God, church-age saints, church-age believers. The vocative case is the vocative of address. In the New Testament scriptures, agapetos indicates a very close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. We are not simply family of God, regeneration like Old Testament believers. Rather, we are royal family of God, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is our Sunday class, Romans chapter 6, the greatest chapter in the Word of God on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are royal family of God through the baptism of the Spirit. We are in union with Jesus Christ. And who is the Jesus Christ? The one that the Father loves. He is the beloved of the Father. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. We are in union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that the Father loves. He is the Father's beloved. Ephesians 1 verse 3, worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us, He elected us to privilege in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, in virtue love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, by means of which grace He has pursued us with grace in the Beloved, in the One that He loves. Therefore, we are very different from believers of any other dispensation of history. As royal family of God, in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a very close relationship with the living and true God that is absolutely unique, and to whom much has been given, the Beloved, the royal family of God, much is required. With all the privileges and all the blessings goes great responsibility. And then we have the conditional particle AE. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. AE plus the indicative of agapao. AE plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. The first class condition is if something is true, and it is. Now, you should be well taught on this issue. The conditional sentence has two parts. It has the prothesis. The prothesis is the premise of the conditional sentence. And it has an apodosis. Oop. I'm putting it in the apodosis. And that is the conclusion. So it has two parts, prothesis, which is the premise, and an apodosis, which is the conclusion. So we have here a conditional sentence. The prothesis, the premise, is this. If God loved us with impersonal love, for all, first class condition, and He has. And then the apodosis, the conclusion is, then we are obligated. Obligated. Got a great verb here. Ophelo. We are obligated to love one another with impersonal love for all. You get that? The prothesis, the premises, if God loved us with impersonal love for all, first class condition, and He has, then the apodosis, the conclusion, then we are obligated to love one another with impersonal love for all. Theos, that's God. And we have God, houtos agapao, God so loved. The adverb houtos H-O-U-T long O-S, houtos is translated so, it denotes degree, so, and then agapao, the verb of virtue, love. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. So we have God, theos, houtos, agapao. God so loved. To love with impersonal love for all. Agapao, aorist tense, dramatic aorist. In the dramatic aorist, a present event is spoken of as an accomplished event, as though it were as good as done. The dramatic aorist is very, very emphatic. The active voice, the living and true God, performed the action of loving us with impersonal love for all. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind from the standpoint of certainty and reality and fact. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is the accusative direct object. That's us. Us, impersonal love for all mankind. So far, in our corrected translation of verse 11, we have had the protasis, the premise, beloved, royal family of God. If God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has loved all mankind with impersonal love. Now we have the apodosis, or the conclusion of this conditional sentence. The King James says, then we ought, very weak, very weak, but then there's so much this week about the King James. We ought also to love one another. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the present active indicative of ophelo plus the present active infinitive of agapao once again and the reciprocal pronoun allelon. The conjunction chi, if it's simply a connective chi, I don't take the time to put it up here, translated and, a lot of times it's that way, but not here. This is an adjunctive chi. An adjunctive chi is translated also. The adjunctive use of chi. And then we have the nominal plural of the personal pronoun ego. E-G long O. And that's we in the plural, royal family of God. And now a very important, very important to know the verb ophelo. O-P-H-E-I-L long O. Ophelo. First of all, one, literally, this verb means to be indebted. To be indebted. To owe something to someone. To be indebted to someone. It was literally used of financial debts and meant to owe something to someone. You have a debt that needs to be paid to someone. That's the literal use of this verb, ophelo. Two, figuratively, it was a verb of obligation. A verb of obligation. And means to be obligated. To be obligated. Not ought. Obligated. Three, with the infinitive following, as in our verse, the infinitive of agapao, the verb for virtue love, it means one is obligated to love one another with impersonal love for all. With the infinitive following, as in our verse, the infinitive of the verb of virtue love, agapao, it means one is obligated to love one another with impersonal love for all. One must love one another with impersonal love for all. And agapao is the verb This is John's verb for virtue love, and here the spotlight is on impersonal love for all, for the whole human race. The present tense is linear action start. You graph linear action start like this. We are obligated to keep on loving impersonal love for all mankind. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, performs the action of the verb. The infinitive is the infinitive of purpose. And then the reciprocal pronoun, allelo. Looks like that in the Greek, A-L-L-E-L-O-N, allelon. Allelon means one another or each other. So, corrected translation. First of all, the protasis, the premise. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has loved all mankind with impersonal love. Now the apodosis, the conclusion. Then we are also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. See how powerful this is? Protasis, premise, beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has loved all mankind with impersonal love, apodosis, conclusion, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. All right. Now let's go back and start the corrected translation at verse 8. The one who does not love, the believer who does not love with impersonal love for all, absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father. He has no occupation with Jesus Christ. Because God is virtue love. Verse 9. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of the Father for all mankind was manifested among us. Namely, God has sent his unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, have eternal life, and live the unique spiritual life by the agency of him, Jesus Christ. In this is virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that he, God the Father, loved us, and he sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for the whole world, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. I told you, it just keeps getting more powerful, greater. John just keeps building on this. All right. One. Verse 11 is a challenge to every church age believer. Verse 11 is a challenge. Where's the challenge? The challenge is right here. Ophelo, you're obligated. Verse 11 is a challenge to every church age believer. Every one of you, every member of the royal family of God. to live the unique spiritual life that God has given to each one of us. So verse 11 is a challenge to every church age believer, every member of the royal family of God, to live the unique spiritual life that God has given to each one of us. Two, it is a challenge to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and advance to spiritual maturity and to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. It is a challenge to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Three, then and only then will we have the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the functional virtue, so that we can fulfill our obligation. Then and only then will we have the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the functional virtue, so that we can fulfill our obligation. Four, we could not possibly have impersonal love for all unless we were first of all the beneficiary of God's impersonal love for us. We could not possibly have impersonal love for all unless we were first of all the beneficiaries of God's impersonal love for us. Operation Grace, the cross. You see, we have houtos agapao in our verse. This is what we have in our verse, 1 John 4:11. Houtos agapao. God, and we have theos, houtos, God so loved us. That's our verse, 1 John 4, God so loved us. John 3:16, we have theos, houtos, agapao, cosmos. God so loved the world. So here we have houtos agapao, God so loved us. John 3:16, houtos agapao, God so loved the world. We could not possibly have impersonal love for all unless we were first of all the beneficiaries of God's impersonal love for us. Five. As a result of faith in Jesus Christ, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, one, God the Father imputes His righteousness to us, and He gives us the gift of eternal life. As a result of faith in Jesus Christ, one, God the Father imputes His righteousness to us, and gives us the gift of eternal life. As a result of faith in Christ, two, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, so that now we also share the righteousness of Christ and the eternal life of Christ. So too, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, so that now we also share the righteousness of Christ and the eternal life of Christ. So three, as a result of faith in Christ, the royal, as royal family of God, we have a double portion of righteousness and eternal life. So as royal family of God, we have a double portion of righteousness and eternal life. Four, as a result of faith in Christ, we have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power, the supernatural power to live this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So as a result of faith in Christ, four, we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the supernatural power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Five, as a result of faith in Christ, this enables us to advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. This enables us to advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue which motivates impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue. Six, as we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we get maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts. As we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we get maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts. Seven, this results in virtue, honor, integrity in our hearts. This results in virtue, honor, integrity in our hearts. Eight, this results in putting on the virtues of Christ. This results in putting on the virtues of Christ. The uniform of honor. Nine, the virtues of Christ include humility, which is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. That has to be there before any of the other virtues will ever be developed. The virtues of Christ include the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility. Personal love for God the Father, the motivational virtue. Impersonal love for all mankind, the functional virtue, and then we fulfill our obligation. We fulfill our obligation, ophelo, to love one another with impersonal love for all. So, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about virtue. Virtue. One, virtue is the monopoly of God. It's the monopoly of God, and therefore it can only be developed in your heart by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Virtue is the monopoly of God, and therefore it can only be developed in your heart by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. To live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And third, executing God's plan. God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So virtue is the monopoly of God, and therefore it can only be developed in your heart by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Two, since virtue is the monopoly of God, it cannot be duplicated nor produced in Satan's cosmic system. Since virtue is the monopoly of God, it cannot be duplicated nor produced in Satan's cosmic system. Three, therefore, virtue is the distinctive characteristic of the royal family. The result of living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Therefore, virtue is the distinctive characteristic of the royal family, the result of living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Point four. The Greek word for virtue in the scriptures is arete. A-R-E-T, long E, arete. And arete means eminent qualities, virtue. Eminent qualities, excellent virtue. This word, arete, is only used four times in the New Testament scriptures. Once by the Apostle Paul, and three times by the Apostle Peter. Five, in Philippians 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, if there is any arete, if there is any virtue, and this is a first-class condition, if there is any virtue, first-class condition, and there is virtue, then keep on thinking, keep on concentrating about them. So Paul gives us the mandate, a command, to think about, to concentrate on these virtues. And then the Apostle Peter tells us what these virtues are. Point six. First of all, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, they are the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. So Peter uses this word, arete, for virtue, uses it three times. We'll note all three passages because it helps define what these virtues are. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you, and only you, church age believers, you are one, an elect people, election to privilege. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a protected people for the purpose that you should proclaim to others the virtues, arete, the virtues of the one, God the Father, who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. All right. One. The principle is, to whom much is given, much is required. Two, because we are elected to privilege, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a protected people. To whom much is given, much is required. Because we are elected to privilege, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a protected people. Three, for the first time in human history, every church-age believer, every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. We all have a ministry. We have not only been appointed a royal priest representing ourselves before the Lord, we have been appointed a royal ambassador to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. All of us. All of us. Totally unique. We're all in full-time Christian service. Every one of us are royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. For the first time in human history, every church-age believer, every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. We all have a ministry. Four. 1 Peter 2:9 emphasizes a part of that ministry is to proclaim to others the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. 1 Peter 2:9 emphasizes that a part of that ministry is to proclaim to others the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. Now, that verb to proclaim, it's the aorist active subjunctive of ex angelo. E-K-S-A-N-G. When you have two gammas together, the first one is transliterated as N-G-E-L, long O. Exangelum. Some of you are sitting there and go, yeah, I know that word. No, you don't. This is a hapax legomenon, and I've never put this word up there. Exangelo is a hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. Now, there is a verb that you have heard many times, and that's evangelizo. You go, yeah, that's the one I meant. E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-Z, long O. Evangelizo. And evangelizo is used many, many times. And it means to announce the good news of the gospel. But we don't have evangelizo. We have exangelo. And in classical Greek, exangelo was a military word. A military word. Used for a soldier sent out in a time of war to give a report. That's exangelo. And therefore, exangelo means one, to be sent out to give a report, to proclaim, to make known to others. Five, God has a purpose in giving each church age believer the blessings of election to privilege, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, protection. God has a purpose in giving each church age believer these blessings, namely, to proclaim to others the virtues of our Heavenly Father. To proclaim to others the virtues of our Heavenly Father. And this includes proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace gospel, to unbelievers. The Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. So that's the first use of arete by the Apostle Peter. We have two more. But we've run out of time for this evening. And we'll pick this up next week. Continue our study on virtue. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.